Please take a Bible and turn with me to the book of Daniel. You can find the book of Daniel on page 737 through 739 of your pew Bible if you'd like to read along with us there. We're going to look at the entire chapter today, and for that reason, I intend to read the entire chapter, but I'm going to read it throughout the sermon in different segments. So before we move into that, before we move into the reading and preaching of the Word of God from the book of Daniel, let me pause now and go ahead and dismiss the little ones with Miss Kathy to the children's Bible lesson, ages 7 and under, if you'd like to go ahead and go. If there is a word that continues to mark my experience, our experience in the world today, I think it's the word change. I'm sure we all remember where we were once the pandemic began, and it seemed as though that event just marked one rapid season of change after another. Not all the changes over the past 2 years have been bad. And when I look at the changes which have taken place and are taking place in our times, these famous lines from Charles Dickens sort of surface in my heart and my mind. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil in the superlative degree of comparison only. Now, in the best of times and the worst of times, if you agree with me that those are the sort of times that we're in, where in the Bible does the church do well to turn? Now, for the next 3 weeks, and we'll be together for 3 weeks, just leave it there. We'll be together for 3 weeks. So for the next 3 weeks, I want to suggest that in the best of times and the worst of times, the Church of Jesus Christ does well to turn to the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel offers you citizenship in a world that cannot be destroyed by the best and worst of times. That's why I offer you the book of Daniel and its message. The name of this world, which I want to hold out to you, is called in the book of Daniel the Kingdom of God. And for the next 3 weeks, I want to show you this kingdom. I want to show you its dimensions. I want to show you its priorities. But more than that, I want to show you its King. And so what I'd like to do for the next 3 weeks is show you the Kingdom of God from the book of Daniel. And we're going to look at Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, and Daniel chapter 12. But here at the outset, I want to unite all three sermons under this one message. So I'm going to take 3 weeks to unpack what I'm about to tell you. Times are changing, but the kingdom of God is rising. There's nothing I can do, there's nothing you can do to stop the changing of our times, which we'll see as we look at Daniel chapter 2. But the rock of your life is the news that the kingdom of God is rising. It's rising in your midst. And if you will choose to enter into this kingdom, to live in it, to trust it, to abide by its values, to trust the King of this kingdom, you'll find life. And you'll put your hope in a world that cannot be destroyed by the best and worst of times. So let's begin then with Daniel chapter 2. And to that end, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's holy word. I won't have you stand every time we read the scripture, but just here at the outset. Hear the word of the Lord. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I have one prayer. That you would reveal yourself now. That you would reveal the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And that you would help these brothers and sisters feel that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And no matter who we are or where we stand, the time has come to repent and believe and entrust ourselves to the new world order of the divine administration. So would you send forth your comforter and your teacher to overtake the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts this morning? And would you build up the body of believers with this ancient mystery, which we find together today in the book of Daniel. And we ask this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, change, and especially changing times, is always a distressing thing, even if it's good. I mean, I'm sure if you look back on your life and seasons of change, you'd say, even if it was good, it was distressing. And the question with which I want to begin our walk through the book of Daniel is, how can you know that amidst all the distress of our changing times that the kingdom of God is rising? I mean, if I were you, I'd be like, I want to believe that. I really do. But I would need some help assuring me, how can I know that? How can I know that God's world is coming and is here and it's going to stand? As long as God is speaking, as long as saints are praying, and as long as lives are changing, the kingdom of God is rising. That's your source of comfort. I mean, if you want to know that this world I'm holding out to you is not just some article of a private faith, but this is a real future that the world out there can expect, your assurance is found right here in the parts of Daniel 2. That God is still speaking. Saints are still praying and lives are still changing. Now, however that's happening, be it ever so small, that is the source of your hope that God's kingdom is rising. And God's kingdom is God's world. Now, it will take me 3 weeks and 30 more years to explain to you all the facets of God's world and God's kingdom. But for now, let's let that be the roadmap through Daniel chapter 2 this morning. God is still speaking to our world. And you know, when I say to our world, I mean all that's going on out there. And if you'll come here, Larry, in a minute, you'll see even more what our world has become. But God is still speaking to that world. And the question is, what is He saying? Well, He is communicating to them what the book of Daniel calls the mystery of the kingdom of God. Daniel 2, verse 4. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic. Now, just as an aside, the reason why it's in Aramaic is that we can be assured that we have discovered an official court document. This is public record. O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we'll show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell his servants the dream and we'll show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you're trying to gain time because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You've agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. And Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man in the world. He was the king of Babylon, an ancient global superpower. And from 605 to 562 BC, no military was stronger, no economy was larger than Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. But for all that wealth and power, Nebuchadnezzar could not interpret divine revelation. He had eyes, but he could not see. He had ears, but he could not hear. He had a brilliant mind. He governed an empire, a superpower, by himself. And yet he could not understand a simple dream. Now let me pause here to hold out to you a lesson, something very helpful. And that is that wealth and power and success, sometimes those things can mislead us about a man or a woman's spiritual needs. Let me say that again. Wealth, power, success out there can sometimes mislead us well, not sometimes, always mislead us about a man or woman's spiritual needs. For all that power, for all that wealth, for all that prominence, for all that authority, in verses 4 to 13 of Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar is not a powerful man. He's a needy man. He needs someone like you. Someone like you to show him the way to Christ and the kingdom of God. Now, I presume that I'm talking to committed Christians. Christians who have heard about the kingdom, who are committed to extending it in our time. And one of the greatest inhibitors, I think, to that step of communicating to someone, especially if we feel that they are smarter than us, or stronger than us, or prettier than us, or more successful than us, we presume that they don't need me. They don't need anything that I have to offer. And so, before I go any further, let me say something to you. The next time that you feel self-conscious, and everybody in here does, and don't tell me you don't, I know you do, but the next time you feel self-conscious in the presence of someone that you deem that's smarter than you, and stronger than you, and prettier than you, and more successful than you, don't look at what is seen. Look at what is unseen. And what's unseen is that person's desperate need for Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Now speak to them on that basis. Don't speak to them according to superficial things. Speak to them according to divine revelation. That person needs what you have. And don't let the externals intimidate you or me, but move toward them with compassion. Look past all those things to their deep, childlike vulnerability and need for the grace of God and for the good news of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Now, if you'll do that, if you will speak to them on that basis, if you'll trust me and do that, when you talk to that person, the kingdom of God will rise. Now, it will be small, it will be imperceptive, it will be something you feel is just an ordinary conversation with a little bit of spiritual something. But that is the kingdom of God rising. If you all do that, if we all commit to it, if we all cross that social fear, the kingdom will rise in our midst, and you'll see it. So as long as God is still speaking, the kingdom is still rising. And as long as saints are still praying, the kingdom is rising. Verse 14. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion. He replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who'd gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree of the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To You, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For You have given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me what we have asked of You. For You have made known to us the king's matter. You know, in times of dramatic change, what do wise people do? They pray. That's what they do. What do the people of God do when there's sudden, dramatic change and they are otherwise frightened? They pray. But now, wait a minute. What I just read to you, there are prayers and then there are prayers. Okay? The prayer that I just read to you needs a little bit of teasing out. Because I don't know about you, but that was a different kind of prayer. At least to my ears. The kind of prayer that Daniel is praying, what is he doing? He says what he's doing. I'm seeking mercy from the God of heaven. That's what I'm doing. Now, when I get it, now please pay attention to this, because this is something that's lost on us. When I get it, when I get that mercy, what am I going to do? I'm going to seal the memory of having received that mercy. I'm going to seal it in my heart with praise. I'm going to seal God answering my prayer, God giving me the mercy that saved my life. I'm going to seal it with praise. What is praise? This is praise. Praise is, I'm going to bless the Lord in public. I'm going to bless the Lord. Don't care what it looks like. Don't care what people think. I'm going into the sanctuary and I'm going to bless the Lord. Why? Because I have experienced with my own eyes that God is great. And He's good. And I got a concrete personal testimony to show you and tell you what He did. They were coming after me. They were going to take my life. There was nothing I could do. And I asked God to show me the dream, and He did it. Now, Daniel's not done. You're not done when you just say what God did. Because the last step in biblical praise is a resolution. Just had our General Assembly this past week where you pass a resolution. Whereas, be it therefore resolved. Here's what I'm going to do. Okay, if you like that sort of language. Whereas I'll bless you, whereas you're good, whereas you're great, whereas you made the king's matter known, be it therefore resolved, I will go into the court of Nebuchadnezzar and I will make you known. That's what I'm going to do. That is praising the name of the Lord. That is what church is for. You come in and you hear His name. You relive the memories of the people of God and your soul is made alive. And you have what you need to go out there in a hostile world and lay it on the line. Or at least that's how Daniel thought. So as long as saints are praying, I don't have time to tell you this good story, but next time I preach this sermon, I'm going to tell you a great story about a sermon that Dietrich Bonhoeffer preached. I don't have time to tell you that today. Sorry, it was a good one too. Just go with me on that. You're welcome, by the way. As long as saints are praying, the kingdom is rising. Now let me tell you something. If you and I will agree on those things, if you'll go with me, if you'll believe that God is speaking when you cross that social, cultural boundary and do the hard thing of communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you'll go with me and believe that saints are praying, guess what's going to happen? Lives are going to change. Now, whose life might surprise you? Because let's see, whose life changes at the end of this story? Verse 31. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you. Its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, feet partly of iron and clay. And then you looked. A stone was cut by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. The iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold, all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away. Not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Skip down to verse 46. Now looky here. King Nebuchadnezzar falls upon his face and bows the knee to Daniel and says this: Your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. Now, there's some things you need to know to appreciate the gravity of that. You need to know that at the age of 17, this young man, he's an old man at this point, but the young man Daniel was taken from his home in Israel. He was never going back. He would be a permanent refugee, never going home, 17 years old. Now, who invaded and occupied Daniel's country? Nebuchadnezzar. Who would sentence Daniel to death in a furnace? Nebuchadnezzar. And to whom did Daniel proclaim the gospel of the kingdom? Nebuchadnezzar. It was through Daniel's lips that Nebuchadnezzar heard this news. The empires of history, take your pick, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, pick the modern ones. Who's the dominant superpower in the world today? You pick. The empires of man will fall, but the kingdom of God will rise. And it will stand. Now, lo and behold, our story ends with a changed life. Looky here, there's a profession of faith. Daniel's an evangelist. Go figure. He goes into the courts, he preaches the gospel of the kingdom, and his ministry ends with a profession of faith. And so here's the last thing I want to say before we pray. Friends, the gospel of the kingdom commands that we love our enemies. That's not a choice. Who was it that said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you? Who said that? The Lord Jesus Christ. What does it look like to love your enemy? Well, look no further than this young man Daniel. Loving your enemy looks like risking yourself, sacrificing yourself to communicate the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what's on offer. If you want to know, like, how am I going to... I mean, if you're the type of person who really, really wants to see our world change, like, I really am sick and tired of watching people shoot each other. I'm sick and tired of watching the city I care about deteriorate. If you're really, really tired of watching young people just give up on the faith. They need the message of the kingdom. They need something bigger. They need a world that they can believe in. They need a world where that is pure and humane and gentle and kind, where love and sacrifice and others first reigns. And friends, that's what Daniel offers. Its message is, the time is fulfilled. Repent and believe. Repent and commit to God's new world. And it's called the kingdom of heaven. And it's here. And it's in our midst. As we speak the word of God to each other, as we pray together, and as we watch lives changed one by one. Let's pray. Father in heaven, there's nothing more that you have to offer than the hope of living in your new world. And I know that many of us are likely discouraged and frustrated and at the point of despair that things are not going to change. They are changing. But the kingdom is also rising. And I pray that you would encourage us with this good news today and in the weeks to come as we enjoy and explore together what your new world is going to look like. And we pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's end our worship this morning as we sing our hymn of response. How fitting. Number 353, I love thy kingdom, Lord. Let's stand and sing. Yeah, there we go. Well, I hope you will stick around for Sunday school. I promise you'll be encouraged and blessed, and look forward to hearing Larry talk about what I just said, but in a very concrete, direct, straightforward way. You can see what it looks like, so I hope you'll stick around and hear from our brother Larry. Let me leave you with this blessing and benediction. Now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
The Lord has used this time today to stimulate your thinking. I'd love a chance to get to know you a little bit better and have some conversation. Please feel free to reach out to me in whatever way is comfortable for you. You can come by the office, or I'll buy you lunch, or just a cup of coffee. Of course, you can always come by on Sunday mornings and we can meet face to face.
Our new service time is 9:30 a.m.